Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of grace.
Good morning, good people of Broadway. I'm most delighted to be here with you this morning, to worship with you, and to enjoy fellowship with you. I should first of all thank you, all of you, your ministers, clergy, laity, for our faithful friendship with the people in Georgia at the Peace Cathedral. I should also thank you on behalf of all the poor who have been supported by your help for years now. Most importantly, I would like to thank you all and the minister, Brian, for your fraternal support of our struggle for freedom, justice, and peace in Georgia. For the last few months, we experienced protests in Tbilisi. We have seen young people detained, abused, tortured, and we have also become witnesses of unbreakable spirit of young people who are so deeply committed to freedom. May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we had wonderful reading from the scriptures. Jesus' proclamation in the Gospel of Luke can certainly be viewed as an inaugural speech. And I'm sure you must have had some inaugural speeches recently. Making no comparison between inaugural speeches, I would like to concentrate what Jesus has to say to us today. Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue, in the city of Nazareth, his own hometown. And by his reflection on the scripture reading, he is effectively starting his ministry in a public forum. His message is very significant, very important. Similar to how a newly elected official might deliver an inaugural address in order to outline their vision, goals, inspirations, passions, if you like. By quoting Isaiah, Jesus connects his mission to the long-awaited fulfillment of prophecy, linking his work to God's plan for entire humanity. This wandering rabbi from Nazareth is obviously deeply rooted in his faith tradition in Judaism. And what he says, what he proclaims, is a legitimate continuation of spiritual legacy from Jewish and Hebrew scriptures. What were our greatest questions in Hebrew scriptures? What were our greatest concerns? Injustice to fellow human beings, including foreigners, bloodshed, bigotry, violence. What was the greatest dreams of the prophets from what we call Old Testament, Hebrew scriptures? Justice and peace. This is what they are concentrating in the Holy Scriptures. Perhaps now we have to take a closer look what Jesus proclaims and what his proclamations have to teach us today, if they can teach anything today. First of all, bringing good news to the poor. This is first article of his proclamation. He begins his proclamation with a comment to the marginalized, economically disadvantaged. His ministry, he is oriented towards those who are in need, those who are suffering. This reflects core principle of his message. The kingdom of God is accessible for everybody, but first of all, those who are in suffering. Because kingdom of God is about God's unconditional love, not only to humanity, not only to Jews, Christians, Muslims, or others, but to entire creation. Second proclamation in his inaugural speech is proclamation of freedom for the prisoners. Here Jesus speaks not only those who are oppressed, persecuted, humiliated, physically, literally, but also those who are persecuted metaphorically. He's referring here to those who are incarcerated and those who are trapped in spiritual, ideological, even religious bondages. His mission includes setting all the captives free, physical, non-physical. His mission endures. His mission is still relevant now. Be them Israeli hostages of the Hamas or Palestinian prisoners of Israel, Ukrainian prisoners of war and Russian prisoners of war. All these are still very relevant. Self-proclamation recovery of sight for the blind. This point symbolizes healing and restoration. It is not about physical restoration, healing, but also spiritual enlightenment, which seems to be badly needed now in our time. His ministry aims to open eyes of those who are spiritually blind by fears, by hatred, by ignorance, by arrogance, enabling them to perceive the truth of God's love for everyone and everywhere. The fourth proclamation from Jesus' commands is about proclaiming the year of Lord's mercy. Jesus announces year of God's favor, which is a reference to the Jubilee year in Jewish tradition. And Jubilee year is a time of debt forgiveness, liberation from bondage, restoration, which is clearly outlined in least read book of the Judeo-Christian scriptures, Book of Leviticus. This proclamation emphasizes a new era of grace and mercy, not only for human beings, but for entire creation, animals, birds, flowers, trees. This all sounds very good, even though this sermon was preached in a synagogue of Nazareth almost 2,000 years ago. It all sounds so pertinent and so relevant now. However, we need to ask some questions. Social justice, liberation, care for poor and needy, these are all good. And this is what we heard from his inaugural speech. But here we need to ask question. Has he managed to accomplish any of these? Or this wandering rabbi was yet another politician who promises a lot, delivers next to nothing. If he has delivered something, why his words are still relevant now? If he has not, why not? And what does it mean for us? It seems we need to see the life of Jesus as the initiation of a movement of people who are working together towards fulfillment of all those ideals proclaimed in his speech in Nazareth. These words spoken by Jesus in his time, in his hometown, has empowered me personally to work for the ideals set ahead of us by him. It empowers Broadway. It empowers other siblings of ours in different religious groups to work together in order to embody the principles of love, justice, service. The mission is ongoing. And the good news about the mission is that all of us are invited to be a part of that mission. Men and women, boys and girls, old and young, heterosexual, transsexual, everybody is invited, Jews and Muslims and Christians, to make their contribution to justice, to peace, to freedom, to fairness. A Hasidic rabbi once asked his disciples, how could they tell when the night had ended and the morning had begun? And the disciples started talking about it, and one disciple is raising his hand. He has got an answer. He says, I know when night ends and when morning starts. When is it? Rabbi asks. He says, when you can differentiate between a tree and a man from afar, then you can comfortably say that the night is gone and day has arrived. Another student raises his hands and says, well, I've got a better answer. We can tell when the night is gone and day has arrived when we can differentiate between a sheep and a dog. And once we can tell which is which, then we can comfortably say that day has arrived. And the rabbi shakes his hand and says, no, that is wrong. It is when you can look into the face of any person and see that they are your siblings. Until then, it is still night. It will take you only to enter the lobby of the Broadway Baptist Church and see the portrait of Mr. Thomas and read little story next to it to realize that day has already come to the Broadway Baptist Church and night is gone. Day is here. This is wonderful. But this is not enough. There are still many churches, many religious communities who prefer to live in the night. Some of them are pretty comfortable, not even realize it, how dark the night is and how beautiful and liberating a day can be, daylight can be. I'm very sorry that after so many years, after so many centuries, Christians and others fail to look into the face of our fellow human beings and see our siblings, regardless race, sexuality, ethnicity, political allegiance. It seems there is a long way to go. But places like Broadway, and you people of Broadway, and many others, represent beacons of hope. I wish it was not the case. I wish Broadway was not a beacon of hope. But it is. It is still necessary to carry the torch of love, acceptance, freedom, justice, which at the end of the day can be trickled down into one single world. Peace, which means not only lack of war, but harmony between human beings, between people of different visions, different allegiances, different traditions, different religions, and also between people and God's creation. We have been entrusted to care for the planet. One of the responsibilities of the Jubilee year was to care for the Mother Earth. And we cannot neglect it either. I'm very proud to consider myself a friend of the Broadway Baptist Church. I'm very proud to be here with you. To lick my wounds, I was writing to Pastor Ryan that I'm coming to Broadway to your place to lick my wounds that has been afflicted by hatred and fear and arrogance. And I know there are difficult days, months, and years ahead of us. But this hope, this love, will sustain us, will help us to overcome difficulties, overcome our own fears and anxieties. Soren Kierkegaard used to say, at least it has been ascribed to him, the door of happiness opens inwardly, which means we can still be happy in the turmoil of our lives. We can still be at peace when you see unfairness and injustice around us. And we can still find energy to fight for better future, which may take years, which may take time, but we know that we are on the right track. The track that leads to peace is a right one. The track that leads to fear, hatred, is a wrong one. It is very simple to understand. I'll be leaving Broadway and this country being inspired by you, being encouraged by your courage, and being supported by your love and care, and by your example of commitment to the causes of justice, peace, freedom, and democracy. Amen.